Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Scorecard U.S. Open week, and yes, that is Johnson Wagner on the right side of your screen. Kind of looks like Ron Swanson when he took the stash down on Parks and Recreation. Not sure what to think there. Patrick McDonald live from the media center there at Shinnecock Hills. Wags, I got to start with the stash. Like, is this just a once a year deal? Just to remind yourself what you look like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever had facial hair, but sometimes you just need a break. I was trimming it, and I was like, you know what? I think it's time to just cut this sucker off and start fresh. So I'll grow it back at some point, but it sure is nice. My wife is very happy, doesn't like kissing a mustache, so I'm looking forward to
that. That was my next question. What was the reaction like at home? Because I'm assuming it's either good or bad. I got a friend of mine that's never shaved in his life because his wife doesn't want it shaved.
She was so happy. She ran in, gave me a big hug. My daughter was freaked out. She didn't like it. She wants me to grow it back immediately.
You're like, give me a week. It'll be back. Patrick, you are at Shinnecock. I know you had a bit of an adventure getting there. How was the trip in? How was the ride in, if you will?
Trip in was tough. A couple of canceled flights, a couple standby situations that the kid did not get on, but we made it here last night. And then you bring up the shuttle, Shane. We are unfortunately located on the wrong side of the golf course. We're coming with all the traffic. It got to the point this morning, you guys, we had a USGA worker and members of the media screaming at the shuttle driver to pull over because they had to use the bathroom. So they pull off the highway. They're going in the woods. Thank God the shuttle driver was very nice, because if I was driving it, you got to hold it. You got to cross your legs. We're 30 minutes from Shinnecock. Figure it out. But it was a dire situation. 2 hours to go about 10 miles this morning.
Spoken like a man with a very young bladder. I'm telling you, you get up to mid-40s, and it's like, you got to pull over. Or this is happening one way or the other. So shuttle update.
I'll say this. We had Josh Carpenter, you know, tweeting out the whole story because he's a big newsbreaker there for Sports Business Journal. He got it wrong. I'm going to call out Josh. Ooh. He's a good friend of mine. One was a USGA worker. Two were media members, just to set the record straight.
Get the numbers correct. Well, it is U.S. Open week. Wags, it is a golf course. I know you've played at a U.S. Open. I believe you were in the field back in 2004. Everybody talks about Shinnecock being the best test. I said this on an interview yesterday. I think Shinnecock is what Oakmont thinks it is in terms of a U.S. Open host. This place beat up the best in the world. It's going to be tough this week.
It's going to be tough, and I'm excited to see it play like Crenshaw Coeur had intended before that restoration we saw in 2018. USGA decided last minute to shrink some of the fairways back down the year before the U.S. Open because of what happened at Erin Hills. I'm excited to see with the wide corridors, and the firmer and faster it gets, the wind's picking up. These fairways are not going to play 40 yards wide. They're going to get really narrow. It's been interesting talking to Rory about it, listening to his comments, talking to Scottie Scheffler about it, listening to his comments. Yeah, they're big, wide open corridors, but if you miss them, you're going to pay. And that's just the beginning. I mean, Shinnecock's one of the greatest second shot golf courses anywhere on planet Earth. I mean, the par threes, number 7, number 11, just proves that holes don't have to be like 8 at Oakmont, 300 plus yards to be difficult. I think 11 is going to steal the show this week, as it always does when the U.S. Open comes to Shinnecock.
Wags, is it the most stressful short iron shot in golf? I mean, it's easy to go with 12 at Augusta, but I mean, this is like we saw it in 18. Koepka hits it over, Reed hit it over, and you're hitting a wedge, 9-iron, 8-iron, depending on the wind.
Exactly. It is brutal, and it's not any easier on the 10th hole. I think 10 and 11 back-to-back are two of the toughest short irons. I mean, 10 playing up the hill, can't miss short, can't miss long. It's an amazing stretch. I know for me, if I was there as a fan, I would be parked right around 10 green, 11 tee, and just watch it unfold all week long.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an interesting design, Patrick. You know, you kind of get into the, like the weeds in terms of the design here. These kind of triangle corridors between holes, 3, 4, 5 hole stretches, where the wind kind of affects it from all sides, depending on what hole you're playing. Obviously, it ends with my favorite thing in golf, which is a par 5, par 3, par 4 finish. It went away for a long time. I think that's the crazy part about Shinnecock, is it was that long stretch of no major championship golf, and now you get here and guys like Rory talk about it being the best venue that they play in terms of major championship tests.
And I think an interesting part about the wind so far this week, at least Monday, Tuesday, is it hasn't been the prevailing wind that these guys have practiced in so far. So this morning, at least, you know, the beginning stretch is playing into the wind. Typically that's downwind. And these guys are like, this is just absolutely brutal. It kicks you right in the face. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how this wind shifts and when they do get that prevailing wind, because you mentioned 11 yesterday. I think Rory hit a 6-iron up there, and it was playing 155 yards. That's how much it's blowing out here. There is no defense. Once you feel a breath of wind, you're going to get the full might of it. It just makes for such a fun test. And you bring up the triangles and kind of how no one hole is really in the same direction. And so you really do need every single shot, both coming into the greens and then around the greens, because the bunkers, I know I've talked to a couple guys, very inconsistent. They're already flummoxing these guys. It's kind of like a beachy sand almost, with a bunch of stones and little rocks in it. They're not too sure what they can pick up and what they can't. And so it's just another added variable, including that wind too.
Good news about that is we never have any rules controversies at U.S. Open.
No.
So that like sounds like it's setting us up for no issues once again at a U.S. Open and a USGA Championship. Wags, the bunker thing is interesting because, you know, week to week on the PGA Tour, the sand, the bunkering, the depth of sand, all of those things are very similar. No matter if you're on East Coast or West Coast, you get it pretty much the same at PGA Tour venues. So when you do arrive at a place like a Shinnecock where the USGA is in charge, they can do kind of whatever they want to do to make this golf course difficult if you do miss a golf shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's just part of it, though. That's what you go out there and play practice rounds. That's why practice rounds take 3 hours just to play 9 holes at these major championship venues, especially at a U.S. Open, and the wind and the conditions. And one of my favorite things about Shinnecock now versus when I played in 04 around the green complexes with all the aprons, I saw an aerial footage of number 1 today. The runoff over the back of number 1 is wild. Like, the ball is just going to get repelled 7. I remember in 07, in 04 on 7, obviously they had the issues on the weekend. I didn't make it to the weekend. There was only one little runoff left. If you went long, it was rough. It was a brutal chip. But now, long of 7 is that fairway grass. Ball's going to travel some 15, 20 yards over the back of that green. That is an absolute no-no miss on a Redan holes. But there will be people back there, and it's going to be a pleasure to watch. I'm so excited for this week to get going and watch this wonderful test start to take place.
Yeah, Wags, you know, we had the 2018 U.S. Open. I was with Fox at the time. And one of my favorite parts about that week, you know, we'd started with a golf course not a lot of people had seen before in Chambers Bay. And obviously, we go to Oakmont. But then we have Erin Hills. So for two of the first three U.S. Opens we had were at relatively unknown places. But when we got to Shinnecock, one of my favorite parts was watching and following along with guys like Faxton and Curtis and Zinger, because a guy hit it a yard over a green and you just saw the reaction. Like, they've got no chance. I remember Tiger doing that on the first hole out of the gate in 18, hit it over the green, and I believe he made triple. Like, there are X's in your book of places not to hit it. I mean, this might be the most X's you'll see at a place, because, I mean, there are places that you simply are not going to make par if you miss it 2-3 yards on the wrong side.
And that's what makes it so much fun. I mean, and the winds are blowing. But, you know, Rory was asked in his press conference earlier today, is there strategy involved to this golf course and what kind of imagination do you need? Yeah, there's strategy. There's a lot of times you'd rather miss it in a short bunker than even dream about going long. So I think it's one of the greatest strategic golf courses possible. And having all the aprons now, it allows for so many different kinds of shots around the greens. Do you bump it? Do you take the hybrid or a three wood? Do you flop it? Like, the options are limitless.
Patrick, I want you to put meteorology hat on for a moment, if you don't mind. I know you're kind of our go-to meteorologist. I'm seeing Thursday, 25-mile-per-hour gusts, some 15 to 17 miles per hour throughout the day. Friday, 29-mile-per-hour gust. And then Saturday and Sunday, we are touching some 30-mile-per-hour gust. Mm. And this is a piece of property that has no defense for the wind. If it blows, it blows.
And I will say that the greens are soft and receptive, because you think about the USGA's history with Shinnecock Hills, you know, relative to US Opens, everyone's expecting that thud and how firm and fast it is. I think they realize with the potential forecast, the good news about being a weatherman, Shane, is you can be wrong and still keep your job, kind of like totally. Us on this show. And I think the good news is, like, they learned from 04, they learned from 18, they're going to ease themselves into it, and hopefully not have a situation like those two championships. But I mean, this place, like Johnson said, with the wind, it is unbelievable. You have to hit all nine windows. You have to have every chip and pitch in the bag. Some you might not even know that you have. And I can't wait. I'm hoping it reaches the point of almost losing this golf course, but not quite reaching it. And I think to Johnson's point, Rory kind of talked about that this morning too, if there is a need to water greens, but we'll just cross that bridge when we have to. We'll see if it ever crosses that line for the USGA.
Wags, Rory also talked about the European contingent here at Shinnecock, and the fact that this golf course and the conditions lend itself to more of a European style golf than maybe what you typically see at American Championship. That being said, with the conditions that we expect to see, are we going to see a 90? Do you think somebody shoots 90 this week?
Quite possible. I mean, there's a lot of amateurs in the field. There's those three young junior players, Jackson Ormond, Miles Russell, and
Giuseppe.
Yeah. Is it Giuseppe Puebla? Yeah, I think there's a very high likelihood you see a 90. Somebody flukes it, like Shane. Had you gotten through sectional, yeah, possibly 90 would have definitely been.
We would have definitely had a 90 if Shane was in this field.
listen. If I'd have been in the field, I'd have been the last ranked guy on anybody's
maybe
picks
triple
and
did,
lists,
Shane.
Especially with the way I play in golf's longest day. All right, we're gonna take a break. Listen, we're gonna get into Scotty. Obviously, a lot of focus on Scotty, potential for a career Grand Slam. We're gonna get into our picks. We brought Patrick's Pyramid back. We got all that and more. This is all U.S. Open, all Shinnecock, as we dive into this. Ron Swanson's going to stick around back after the break.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With All Trails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with All Trails.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would.
Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled BABBEL.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happy 250th birthday, America. I've decided to spend this semi-quincentennial as our founding fathers would have wanted me to, checking out the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I know I can find everything from ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats and stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage to best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging storage, and those signature Bobopedic seats. Because nothing is more American than a sofa that's a bed and a library and a closet. So, if you want to join me in decking out your house with the finest affordable furniture this 4th of July, why not stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Back here on Scorecard, and fellas, I think it's time to talk Scottie Scheffler. We don't do that often on this show. Scottie, over the last few years, has been so dominant. This year, he's been consistent, probably is the word you'd use, but not dominant. Obviously, high finishes. He finishes high every week, it feels like. Rarely, if ever, misses a cut. But the wins aren't coming. And so, Patrick, I want to start with you at Scottie Scheffler. Do you think Scottie is the favorite this week? And do you think he should be the favorite this week?
Yes to both of those. I mean, this guy is still clearly the world number one, in my opinion. You talk about being consistent, and this guy hasn't finished outside the top 25 in 32 starts. I think it's the 2024 BMW Championship at Castle Pines is the last time he didn't do that, and he just continues to gobble up top 10 finishes. He was in the mix at the Masters, finished runner up there. He was the first round leader at the PGA Championship too. And I think a lot of people are looking at the iron play not being vintage Scottie Scheffler, but it seems to be getting better and better by the week. I still think it's not quite to his standards, but during that time, Johnson, I know you can touch on this because you followed him a bunch. I feel like he's turned into perhaps as well-rounded of a player as he's ever been.
And it's been weird. Last year, he dominated so many events winning, but this year, he's gotten beaten a few times. He's just been outplayed a little bit on some Sundays, and he's been trailing by more than we're used to seeing him. But I think this golf course in particular, Shinnecock Hills, and when you look at Birkdale, too, coming up for the Open Championship, they're both very demanding golf courses. And I think the harder the test, the more Scottie Scheffler has a chance. I think so many guys are going to be eliminated before they even tee up around Shinnecock with the winds, with the difficulty of this golf course, with the strategic elements that are needed to get around this place for 72 holes. I think everything's pointing towards Scottie's direction to pick up that career Grand Slam.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get the career Grand Slam, obviously on his birthday, Father's Day, all of those storylines are going to be a big part of the early week talk, and especially the Sunday talk, if he is in contention. Patrick, I will say, I mean, I do think a lot of the time we talk about Scottie Scheffler, and we say the more demanding the test, the better the situation is for Scottie. This particular championship, it feels like when it has been more demanding, it seems to frustrate Scottie. Do you see that being an issue? Like, felt like that at Pinehurst number two, kind of felt like a little bit at times during Oakmont last year.
Oakmont, he putted horribly from inside 6 feet. If he putted like he did this year, he probably is the U.S. Open winner at Oakmont, just given how many short putts he missed. It seems like every time he got a little bit of momentum, he let an easy one slide by. Going back to Pinehurst number two, he's talked about it a ton, just with that preparation of playing at Muirfield Village the week before. I would like to see a better attitude out of Scottie Scheffler. We know the 15th club is going to be tested this week, and there's going to be frustration. If you want to talk about the wind, sort of, there's going to be no second guessing which direction the wind is going. If you want to go back to Muirfield Village and Memorial and him and Teddy Scott kind of going back and forth. So he's played well on difficult golf courses, Shane. Think about his wins at Augusta National. That is not an easy place. He has a good U.S. Open record too, almost won at the Country Club. So I'm not really concerned if the test is difficult. I would just like to see during those moments of frustration to kind of, you know, channel it a bit more effectively.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at, Patrick. A little bit about what you talked about with attitude is it does feel like Scottie, and he's always been a guy that can get fiery on the golf course. But I do question what's going to happen when he's inevitably going to have one of those situations this week at Shinnecock, because you're going to have a putt that's going to miss by 7 feet, you know, the wrong way because the wind's going to blow it that way. Or you're going to hit a wedge that you flush and it's going to get caught up and gusted and land in a bunker. I do wonder the reaction from that, because it feels like Johnson, you follow him a lot. We have seen him frustrated this year. Again, he has been frustrated throughout his career when things don't go his way. The difference in this year, and I think years in the past, things have gone his way years past. They maybe haven't gone his way as much this year.
And I think those are great points you guys make. And when you think about Shinnecock, and the part of 16 at Muirfield Village is a perfect example. Like Shinnecock, you're going to hit good shots that end up in bad places, and it's going to happen a lot. And so does he have the ability, does he have the patience, and does he have the acceptance? And I think that's probably a conversation that he and Ted are having out there during practice rounds. Like, hey, man, not every shot's going to be perfect. This isn't the kind of golf course that you can, you know, just ball strike your way around. You're going to have to get it up and down, and you're going to have to accept some bad outcomes of what you feel like off of good shots.
Yeah, proximity wise this season, not great. 128th on tour in proximity. That is a stat he's been top three in over the last couple of seasons. So not great in terms of the iron play. I will say, Patrick, because I'm not picking Scotty to win this week. I actually don't love Scotty at all this week at Shinnecock. That being said, what are people going to have to lean on? Pitching, chipping, short game around the greens. And I still think he's the best in the world in that department.
So why don't you like him then?
I just don't love the consistency of the ball striking right now. I just haven't seen that level of consistency with the full swing this year. There have been times where he's driven it great. There have been times where he's driven it okay. And the iron play, to our point about proximity, and Patrick, to your point about the wedge play, hits a drive in the hay, got a chip out. All of a sudden, you're trying to get it up and down from 100 yards. And Patrick, you've been on this. That wedge play has just not been to the standard of Scotty when he has been his most dominant golfer.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I think he's averaging like six feet further away from 50 to 125 yards. And if you're missing fairways, that feels like a key distance to try to get up and down for those true U.S. Open pars.
Wags, you interested to see Rory and Scotty on the same side of the draw? That's kind of been the Phil Tiger thing. They always separate them. Interesting to see
put on
them
the
kind of on that
hat.
Same side. There's Patrick going. Yeah.
I do think it's going to be. I think it's going to be exciting. I mean, Thursday morning, those both of them on the golf course. What a way to get the U.S. Open started, having your two big superstars out there. I think it's going to be fantastic. And then Friday afternoon and the winds when they're coming down, finishing on 18. It's going to be great. Yeah, I love having them on the same side.
Hopefully the weather. I mean, I'm assuming the USGA in theory would be hoping this if they want to have that kind of elite level winter, but they're hoping maybe Thursday morning a little less intense, and then Friday afternoon, you never quite know on Long Island in the afternoon. But we got some big questions around this US Open. There's a lot of questions around a lot of big names that haven't done a ton this season, kind of waiting for them to get going. And so we're going to dive into some of those guys, maybe the non-Scotty, the non-Rory division, and see what we think about their chances this week at Shinnecock to win this US Open. We'll do that after the break. Back here on Scorecard, we're going to dive into some of the other names in the non-Scotty Scheffler division. Before we do that, Wags, I do want to give a little bit of love. Adam Scott this week, 100th major championship in a row, going back to the 2001 Open Championship. Wags, we celebrate wins and trophies and slams and all that stuff. I think we need to give more love to longevity in this game. Adam Scott is defining that right now.
It's remarkable. I mean, to stay healthy enough for 25 years, not to have some freak accident. I mean, remember Rory McIlroy kicking a soccer ball, had to withdraw from the Open years ago. Not only that, to be healthy, but to be good enough to basically be a top 50 player in the world for 25 straight years. It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm like 2 months older than this guy, and I look like I'm about 50 years older. I mean, Adam Scott.
Well, the stash helps.
It's a tough comp.
The stash
it's a tough comp.
You young down. I mean, Patrick, I just feel like, you know, you think about Mickelson back in the day when he wins at the age of 50, and you think about Rory right now, and I feel like there's not enough love for the longevity of Rory as a top 10 player in the world. And all the while, you got guys like Adam Scott, obviously Justin Rose still bucking a bit. Do you think there's a chance one of those guys, the 40-somethings, could get in contention here?
Adam Scott did last year. He had a great chance to win there at Oakmont on the final day. Was maybe steering it a little too tightly, similar to Justin Rose on the second nine there at Augusta National this year. But This tournament in particular, this championship, and at a golf course like Shinnecock Hills, it tends to produce things that people aren't really expecting. And Adam Scott or a Justin Rose, I think they are sort of on the mind, but they're certainly not front of mind. So I could totally see one of them or both of them have a really good week.
Patrick, coming back to you on Rory. You and I were texting yesterday, kind of talking about Rory earlier this year at Riv. Pulled out kind of a new weapon, that driver that he just kind of hit those bullet drives around that golf course. I'd never really seen Rory do that before. He talked about it after and said it had been a part of his game. I just had never really seen it. He's the highest launcher of the golf ball, really, on the PGA Tour. Could he lean on that? Do you think he has a chance? He spent a lot of time at Shinnecock.
You can definitely do that, and I'm curious to know how many drivers he's even going to hit around this place, because if you go back to 2018, it seemed like Brooks Koepka just wore out the sweet spot of that Nike Vapor driving iron that he uses. And so if Rory kind of wants to use that drive, choke down on it, take a little off it, keep it in front of him, then it's going to set him up for a ton of success, just because it sounds weird to say, with Rory being maybe the greatest driver ever, like the driver has handcuffed him so far in 2026. He won in spite of it there at Augusta National. It was a reason why he didn't win there at the PGA Championship too. Johnson, to your point about how wide these fairways and how small they're actually going to play, it kind of does remind me of Aronimink in that sense, where with the wind whipping and how they cantor and how they kind of careem, it looks wide, but they play very, very small. So I think after the PGA Championship, Rory realized, like, I got to figure this club out if I'm going to contend at Shinnecock. And I think he wants a U.S. Open at this golf course in particular. It's not just about winning championships. It's about where you win them as well for someone like Rory. And Shinnecock's certainly on that list.
Yeah, it would certainly be a nice check mark, feather in his cap for his career to win a U.S. Open at Shinnecock. And I got to push back on that stinger driver a little bit for him. Yes, into the wind, certain situations, it could be incredible. But just talking about those fairways, that driver runs out an extremely long way, which makes those fairways even smaller. If he's hitting a ball that's going to potentially have 50 yards of run out, it's going to be hard for him to control it and keep it in those fairways. I'd rather see him launch it, have it land in the fairway, hit just a little bit softer.
Yeah, just stay in the fairway, and then you can obviously attack depending on the hole location, what hole you're playing. Let's get into some of the kind of other names. Obviously, I mean, Rory and Scotty consume a lot of oxygen. Patrick, I've been on this for a bit, like waiting for one of these other guys to buck. I mean, your boy Xander, Colin, Ludvig, Fitzy, like who's going to buck this week of that kind of other star that I feel like haven't done a ton in terms of collecting majors as of late?
Xander's 2026 is so weird. It just feels like it's been a ton of floor performances, and he's one of those three guys to finish top 10 in both major championships this season. And he hasn't been able to have that ceiling performance like he did so many times in 2024. And his resume, he's won the PGA and he's won the Open Championship, obviously, but where he plays his best golf is, weirdly enough, the Masters and the U.S. Open. And is he going to be a guy who wins a couple of these in his career, or is he just going to be a guy who is so consistent, racks up top 15 finishes in these U.S. Opens? So Xander, to me, we talk about people on the mind. No one's really talking about him, it seems like, right now, coming off a meh finish at Memorial. But man, he just has so many outs with his game being so well-rounded, where if something doesn't cooperate, he'll still finish inside the top 10. But I'd love to see that ceiling performance from him, because it seems like it's been a little bit of a while that we have.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's so many of these guys, I feel like, Wags, that I'm kind of looking at. Like, Ludvig is high on my list, just considering the consistent play we've seen over the last few months from him. You're just kind of waiting. Like, are you going to be a guy that wins big events? And I know he's early in his career. Are you going to be a guy that wins big events? Or are you going to be a guy that finishes high on the leaderboard but doesn't quite, you know, get it across the line? Right now, he's more the latter than the former.
Yeah, I mean, and we saw it at the Players' Championship, but not being able to close, is that becoming a trait of Ludvig? I certainly hope not, but it's hard to believe he's only won twice on the PGA Tour. He's only won and then another win on the DP World Tour. I need to see a lot more out of Ludvig. I want to see him continuing in these majors, pick off a major, and be the guy that we all want him to be. I mean, he is a superstar. He's got all the talent in the world. He's a two-time Ryder Cupper at such a young age, but he hasn't been able to close the deal, and he's, you know, he puts himself in position. I mean, at the PGA at Aronimink, I thought it was a perfect fit for him, just doesn't play consistent enough on the weekend.
Patrick, what about the Live boys? What about Rahm and Bryson? I will say, watch Bryson on YouTube a couple of days ago. Was not sharp. And he could edit those. So I don't know if I necessarily love Bryson at this golf course.
Well, what was the challenge? I'm not subscribed to the channel, unfortunately.
I think it was a course record video where you got to break the course record. And and he shot 5 under and needed 7 under, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I saw those markets up on Kalshi. I believe you can bet on his course record videos just to give you the state of golf and content creation right now. Seems like Bryson's new PR strategy is sort of to do that late evening Monday range session just to get extra camera time. And of course, he's swapping all his equipment or some of it. And this week it seems to be the driver, but you need a lot more than just the driver this week. And having been so poor in major championships this season, and really he shot 78 at Royal Portrush too. He's a second round away at the Open Championship from missing 4 straight cuts in major championships. So there's definitely question marks about his form. And even though he's a 2-time U.S. Open champion, Rahm, it felt like he smelled blood at the PGA Championship and he's going to be hunting down. But I will say the guy I'm kind of keying in on is Tyrrell Hatton. Just won there in Valderrama, was in with a chance at Oakmont too. And Jason Sobel talked to him last year, and the quote to him was something along the lines of, I normally play with my head cut off, and during U.S. Opens, everyone has to. So it's kind of like the Bane situation in Batman. He was born in the darkness. Yeah. And so because of that, I mean, Hatton's just a fun cat to root for and watch, especially when he's running a little hot.
I love that he knows to lean into it, right? That he understands that I'm a complete nut on the golf course. So this is my favorite golf tournament because everybody goes crazy at a U.S. Open. Wags, I know you mentioned kind of that low penetrating drive you don't love around Shinnecock. If the winds are up, obviously people are going to lean into that shot. And I feel like that's kind of the way Joaquin Niemann plays. Do you think Joaquin Niemann has an opportunity for a breakout performance at a major?
I absolutely think Joaquin's got it in him. I mean, he drives the ball great, low, hot. I just think the fairways are going to play really small with that shot. I think selectively into the wind, yes, obviously it's going to be a weapon to be able to have it. But I think Joaquin, and this is my issue with him for a long time, he doesn't hit his irons high enough. And there's just some of those green complexes. Like when you think about hitting into the seventh hole, I just feel like Joaquin Niemann does not have the iron game right now to contend at a tough, firm major championship venue.
Yeah, Wags, it's interesting. It's a golf course that feels like you want to play it on the ground, right? I mean, I think that's the way Shinnecock was designed and intended. But it feels like you're kind of saying that how tough this is going to play and how much wind there's going to be out there and how firm it'll inevitably play because it's U.S. Open, not a lot of rain in the forecast. It almost feels the opposite. It almost feels like you would prefer someone to play it in the air so that you don't have to have as much unpredictability when it lands.
Well, I mean, obviously, it is a links-style golf course. You're going to have to play the ball on the ground a lot, but there are those moments hitting into the ninth green, hitting into the 18th green. Yes, you can bounce it into 18, but to be able to launch a ball and have it stop somewhat near where the ball lands is going to be crucial at some point during this tournament. And Joaquin, it just takes too big of a skip for me around this golf course for him. I don't think he spins it quite enough.
Patrick, do you see this thing floating around the world ranking of the last 3 winners at Shinnecock U.S. Open? You see Pavin was 9, Goosen was 9, Koepka's 9. Who's 9 in the world 9 right now? J.J. Spahn, baby.
Whoa. And last time, Brooks back-to-back.
Trying to go back-to-back. It's happened at Shinnecock before. All right, we got more. We got some categories we're going to dive into. Want to talk about first-time winners as of late at U.S. Opens. Could that trend continue? And then we're going to do some fun picks like low lefty, low am, low live golfer, all that and more. I think we also have a low Jackson in the field. There's a lot of Jacksons
in the field
this week. And then we'll dive into our pyramid in a little bit and give you our picks for Shinnecock Hills.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really, or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom!
One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
Back here on Scorecard, time to dive into some categories. We got some fun ones here. There's so many, like, you know, this is an interesting major championship because you obviously get a host of, you know, international flair. You got a host of amateur golfers, past champions, all that and more. The other interesting thing, Patrick, is how many first-time major winners we've had at the U.S. Open as of late, going back to 2019. Gary Woodland, Bryson at Wingfoot in 20, John Rahm, 2021, Fitzy in 22, Wyndham, obviously, at LACC, and last year with J.J. Spahn. So, Patrick, I'll ask you, does this trend continue this week?
I think even going back further, it might be 13 out of the last 17. Do not quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure going back to kind of Tiger Woods in 2008, I think that's the number. And I'm going to say it does continue. The way the top of the game is shaking out, it feels like this championship is more wide open than years past, where we've had guys just really take hold of major championship season. And I don't know if anyone has necessarily done that yet. And being a U.S. Open, where things happen, wave advantages happen, unlucky breaks and different variables occur to the best players in the world. I'm going to go on the ledge here and say that a first-time major winner is coming through this weekend.
Kind of looking at the top 10 in the world, obviously you got Cameron Young, 3 in the world. He would obviously fit the mold there, be a very popular pick this week. Russell Henley at 5 in the world. And you got Tommy Johnson, who was so close here in 2018, 62 and a half, if you will, in that final run to give himself a chance. So, I mean, some guys that have played some excellent golf this year and looking for a first major title.
What about Chris Goddard? I kind of like his chances as well. The way he hits that nice heavy ball, great wind player. I mean, the way he played after winning the Scottish Open, the way he played at Royal Portrush was amazing. I think Goddard can fit that first time major winner at the U.S. Open.
All right, we're gonna go around the horn here. We're gonna go low am to start, Patrick. I'll kick it to you. A lot of ams in the field, by the way.
Oh,
a boatload
my gosh.
Of the a's next to the names.
It's a hell of a crop of amateurs. I believe you have like 5 out of the top 11 almost. And Ben James, of course, was the number 2 and then just became professional and held the 36-hole lead at the Canadian Open. I'm going to go off the board here because there's some sexy names among the amateurs, but I'm going to go with the vampire himself, Ethan Fang. Won the amateur championship last summer, Oklahoma State cat. Just knows how to get the ball in the hole. Type of golfer, and I think in the U.S. Open where you're going to get punched in the face, I'm going to go off a little bit from the top names and go with Fang.
Was there a vampire grouping out there that the USGA missed? I'm trying to think of somebody else that would fit that mold. You know, like, is there a cape involved as well? I don't know. There's somebody like that. They could probably lean into it. Who you got, Johnson for low am?
I mean, it was going to be too easy to take Jackson Koivun. I think he's going to play great, and he's going to be a professional next week anyway. But I went with Ethan Fang's teammate, Preston Stout, just won the NCAA individual title a couple weeks ago. I like his game, too. Hits the ball a long way, pretty good short game. Preston Stout, he's going to play well.
I'm going Miles Russell.
A little bit.
He is a little slow. I'll go Miles Russell as my low am, the youngster going out there and getting it done on tough
golf. No, Koivun.
We've got 5 Jacksons in the field. The Jackson 5 at Shinnecock, in case you guys were wondering. So we decided we'd go low Jackson Johnson in the field. Who's going to be the best of the Jackson crew?
Again, it was going to be easy to take Jackson Coivin, but I'm leaving him out. I'm going with Jackson Suber. He played well last week in Canada. He's had a couple nice finishes, played really well at the Byron Nelson as well, 63 on Sunday. I cooled him off on Saturday. That's why he didn't play very good Saturday. But I think Jackson Suber is going to have another great week.
I'm going to go with Coivin, Wags, just because you need a little bit of Jackson Coivin on the card at the U.S. Open. You mentioned that he's going to become professional here shortly, but getting the exemption via number one in the amateur ranking. So I'm going to go with Coivin for my low Jackson. There's plenty, like Shane mentioned, in the field. So should be a good game within the game. And Russell Henley tells me that they play together a lot back home. So has that knowledge to fall back on. Next, Wags. This is near and dear to my heart and near and dear to Shane, if he was still here. Top lefty in this field, Wags. Who do you like this week?
Well, any opportunity I can to say his name, Brian Harman, a big fan of his. I'm a good friend with Brian. I think this is a good venue for him as far as U.S. Opens. He drives the ball incredibly straight. Fairways are going to be firm enough that he's going to be able to get the ball out there. Plus, talk about a good short game. Brian Harman has one of the sickest short games I've ever seen. He's a true all-around great player. Just unfortunately, with the distance he hits it, he needs the right venue fit for him, and Shinnecock Hills is that.
Patrick, I'm just gonna lean into my since I popped out of there for a second. I'll go Van Paris is my low Jackson, just leaning into it. I got Siddharshan as my low lefty. You know, he won on the KFT last year out of the gate at a windy golf course. He hit every fairway in the final round. When he drives it well, he drives it very well, and he's been playing some solid golf. So I'll go Yellow Miraju as my low lefty.
I'll rock with Bobby Mack. Think it'll be either a great week or a week where he's throwing the bird at something. So let's take the volatility.
Speaking of throwing the bird, we'll dive into low live player. I'm going to go Tyrrell Hatton here. Kind of going off everything we said about him earlier. I just think Hatton is one of those guys that kind of embraces the fight, you know, I mean, and not the fight like he wants to fight, more the fight like when you get punched in the face.
Okay. That's fair. What about Carlos Ortiz? Remember him? He almost won the U.S. Open last year. I think I don't think anyone was prepared for that if that occurred. I'm gonna go with Hatton too.
I want to take Patrick Reed. Will y'all let me have Patrick Reed for this, even though he's not playing on?
No.
No.
No. Nope. Nope. Not on
the five aces, Johnson.
John Rahm is going to have a great week. You mentioned it earlier, the way he performed coming down the stretch at the PGA. He looks like he's got that killer instinct back. I think John Rahm has a big week this week.
Trying to sneak in Patrick Reed on low live. I mean, that is just some slimy
Shame
work. Wags finishes a long
you.
Work stretch, and he's just trying to sneak it in on us like we wouldn't notice. But there you go. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, wrap up the show with our – give it to me, Patrick. What are we going to do? What are we going to give the people? The pyramid. It's time for the pyramid at Shinnecock Hills. Back here on Scorecard, most golfers' favorite shape is a circle. Typically means you made a birdie, not ours. This crew's favorite is the one and only triangle. And we only pop it out, Patrick, for the biggest of events. I feel like we let it rest, you know, on the non-signature events, non-majors. When it comes to major golf, we got to get the pyramid out. And so, Patrick, this is your baby. I'll let you kick us off in terms of this U.S. Open power ranking pyramid.
So this pyramid's a kind of a special edition. It's the pyramid of guys I feel like we aren't really talking about who have a good chance of winning this championship. So not only just your power ranking. And so the top of this, Matt Fitzpatrick, this guy leads the PGA Tour in terms of wins this season. He has a win at the 2022 U.S. Open. And he's a guy who, like, I trust him flighting irons. I trust him flighting his driver when required and hitting the various shot shapes that are needed around this place. And I know it looks funky with the cross-handed chipping and pitching, but God, he has been dynamite around the greens this year. I got Russ Henley and Patrick Reed, two former Georgia Bulldogs, although Reed's reign was cut short there in Athens, Georgia. But love these two, just proper golfers. Great short game as well. Followed Hideki for a little bit today. He missed a green by about 50 yards, but the rundown was in. And so we're going with him. I know these fairways are going to play a lot more narrow than what they say on paper, but great iron player, great hands too. Johnson, I'm glad you brought up Goddrup. He won at the Scottish Open. He won at Wailea. Corey Pavin, you know where he won twice? Wailea Country Club. Johnson Wagner, you know where you won? Boom. Wailea Country Club. It all screams Goddrup this week. Ryan Gerard playing some awesome golf coming off that Memorial playoff loss. Hovland, momentum guy. Maybe he found a little bit there last week in Canada. Harris English, a sneaky good U.S. Open record, 3 top 10s in his last 6. The PGA Championship winner no one is talking about is Aaron Rye. He's deadly accurate off the tee. He just won at a Windy Aronimink. Is he going to win this golf tournament? Probably not, but a top 15 finish, I could totally see that in the bag for Aaron Rye, and kind of the same vein with J.J. Spahn, who's played a lot better as of late.
So you went you decided to take the pyramid
a little variation.
I don't disrespect it. Just want to say Wags and I think kind of stuck more to the plan. Wags, I like
that was the idea.
Pyramid. Let me see your pyramid. What do you got for us, Wags?
Yeah, well, it's going to start. I think it's disrespectful that on Patrick's pyramid he didn't have world number one, Scotty Scheffler.
So no Scheffler
start at the top with Scotty Scheffler. I just think I think this is his time. I think he's been building to this point all year. I think the frustrations having not won as much as he wanted to, I think, is leading him to a dominant performance this week. Cam Young's playing some great golf. Would love to see him in the mix in New York. Tommy Fleetwood, incredible ball striker, great wind player. Obviously had the 63 Sunday where he missed that tiny putt here in 2018. But I got in the third level, Rory. Give me some Ludwig. Let's go, Ludwig. It's time to win a major championship. There's your former LIV player, the Four Aces, Patrick Reed. I feel like he's deserved this spot on my pyramid. And then Patrick, the one part of your pyramid I completely agree is Ryan Gerard. Hey, I've got him down there on the base, holding up the whole thing. Ryan Gerard's playing some great golf. Unfortunately for his former caddy Stephen Hale, who was a caddy of mine, Gerard has kind of moved on to a younger guy, and he's rebounded nicely this last month. Justin Rose, love this venue for him. I think experience on this golf course, and we talked about accepting and being patient. Well, that's what Justin Rose has. This is going to be a really good golf course for an experienced player like Rose. And then John Rahm, I think he's going to have a nice run at it. And Xander Schauffele, how can you not have Xander Schauffele on a U.S. Open pyramid? He is built for U.S. Opens.
How about our graphics department? Pyramid looks way better.
Phenomenal.
This time around. Could you imagine what it's going to look like next year? It's wild. I mean, that thing is so well done. My pyramid, a lot of kind of familiar names that you guys mentioned. I got Tommy Ladd atop it. I just said it a long time ago. He was going to win this U.S. Open, so I'm sticking with it. I really like Rory this week. I just think Rory has prepared for this place. I remember being in the caddy area a few years ago and seeing that 65 scorecard from Rory at Shinnecock up on the wall. I got Fitzpatrick there as well. Best ball striker this season. P. Reed, going to scramble. Scotty, going to scramble. Ludwig, where you at? Are you going to win or are you not? And then the bottom of the pyramid, Henley, Neiman, Rose, and Burns, a name I have not heard, but has been playing fantastic golf and has kicked it around at a U.S. Open before. So that's our pyramids. A lot of, I'd say, similar names and then some that maybe weren't on other people's. I like the Aaron Rye pick as well. I thought that was really, really good there.
So who's winning? Who's the one pick to win from you guys?
Johnson, I'm going to go Tommy. Who you got?
I mean, I'm going Scotty. I know it's chalk. I know it's too good of a story. Career Grand Slam, 30th birthday, Father's Day, but I want it. That's what I want to see, and I'm betting with my heart on this one.
Yeah. Okay, well, I drove here in a van this morning, but it's going to be the bus with the trophy, Rust Bus, come Sunday.
Rust Bus getting it done. So then the trend continues. I mean, you know, you think about Russell Henley just like you think about Xander Schauffele, guys that it feels like should win a U.S. Open at some point in their career. And for some reason, I can't get Justin Rose out of my head.
Yeah. It's like I said, it feels really wide open, and on a golf course like Shinnecock, it's going to be a golf fan's dream.
Yeah, I just think it's a place where we saw what Wags, we saw the unpredictability of what can happen on the weekend in 2018, where you can go from 40th position right to the top of the leaderboard if conditions get nasty. Expecting gnarly, nasty conditions all week and weekend long at Shinnecock. Should be an awesome week. We'll be back on Tuesday to recap all of it, obviously here on Scorecard. But this is the third of four majors this season. A look at the upcoming PGA Tour schedule. Of course, we go from Shinnecock, Travelers, the Deer, Scottish Open, and then, of course, the Open Championship in late July. Going to be a great week. Excited for Shinnecock Hills.
podcasts. This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.